So with all of that said, I want to move into the message today. We're in week two, and I just want to do a little bit of a series recap. We kind of laid a foundation last week on what this series was going to be all about. So we talked about some theme concepts, and then we said that we're actually going to be just looking at Bible characters who are not even named. Many of them that we'll talk about, they weren't even named in Scripture, but they did something amazing because of their following and encountering Jesus. And so we read our theme verse last week in Romans 9, and this is what Jesus is in the business of doing, y'all, is he wants to call nobodies and make them somebody. So he says in Romans 9, I'll call nobodies and make them somebodies. I'll call the unloved and make them loved. In the place where they yelled out, you're nobody, they're calling you God's living children. So we talked about this idea that, hey, without Jesus, it is true, we are nobody. Without God, we aren't very much. When we trust in Jesus and when we do it God's way, he wants to do something significant in and through you. So he wants to take people who are nobodies and make them somebodies. We go through seasons of our life where we feel like maybe what we're doing isn't really making a difference, or we feel like, man, I'm working hard, but no one notices, or what I'm doing, I'm not sure if it's really making the difference that I dreamed that it would. And so we find these times in our lives where we just feel like maybe we're nobodies. Nobody sees us. Nobody hears us. And I want you to know that that was not God's intent for you. When he made you, when he created you, he had much more for you than to feel like what you're doing doesn't matter. So we made the important distinction last week that, hey, little known doesn't mean less important. You know, we live in a culture today where your significance is tied to how famous you are, or how much people know you, or how much people notice you. And we said that notoriety is not tied to your significance. That it's not about how many people know you or how many people see what you do. No, it matters what God is doing through you and in you. He sees what you're doing, and your significance is not tied to how much people notice you. So that was our foundation that we laid for this series, to say, God's going to take nobodies and make them somebodies all through the grace of Jesus. And he's going to show us and lead us in this way of being significant and making our lives count for something. So if you have your Bibles, you can go to 2 Kings 4. We're going to look at an individual today that I really hope will inspire you and to show you that God wants to do something significant no matter what your situation is. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars as each is filled. Put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We know that your word says that it will go forth and it will not return void. It will do something. And so we make room for you this morning, Lord, for you to speak to us, for you to do something, Lord, for you to challenge us. We know that this story, that this example has life application. So help us to find it this morning, reveal it to us, and help us to leave here better off than when we came in. Help us to leave here encouraged and challenged. So we give this time to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I've known this about this story for many years. I've read it. I've heard about it. Even as I was a kid, I heard this story that was told. And I think sometimes we read stories like this and we see like, man, this is a miracle. This is cool and everything. But I don't really know how olive oil being multiplied relates to my life. Like, olive oil isn't exactly a huge part of our economy these days. Come on, somebody. Like me having a little bit of olive oil, that doesn't mean much. But what I think you're going to find, if you really press in and you really read this through and you consider it, it has nothing to do with olive oil. And so I want to just take a look at the story. I want to see, like, what is God saying in this story? It's not about olive oil. It's not just about God doing a miracle and providing. It is that, but it's also something deeper. There's more to it. So I'm going to reread this again. I want to talk about it for a few minutes, and I really want you to think about how this applies to your life. If we translated this into a modern-day situation, we would see maybe a single mom who doesn't have enough to pay the bills, who doesn't have what it takes to do what she is feeling like she needs to do to provide for her family. So she's calling out to God for help. She's approaching God's people and saying, hey, please help me. Like, I'm in dire need here. I need a miracle. So whether you're feeling like a nobody or maybe you need a miracle this morning, maybe you're looking for God to come through for you in a certain way, there's a lot that we can learn from this scripture. So I want you to lean in, take notes, and I really want us to leave here with some application on understanding that we are somebody, we are significant, and God can do anything in any situation that we face. So if we go back to the story, she comes to him and she's in need and she's about to lose everything. She's going to lose the house. She's going to lose the car. You know, she's going to lose everything. She doesn't have what it takes to pay and to provide. And so instead of him just responding and saying, here's $50 or here's a check or here's your need met, I'm just going to give it to you, go on your merry way, he responds with an intentional question, a very intentional question. He says, tell me, what do you have in your house? Right? Like, he knows she's in need. He knows she doesn't have very much. He knows that she came for a very specific reason, but yet he puts it back on her and says, what do you have in your house? So I want to ask you that question this morning. What do you have in your house? What do you have that God has given you? You know, maybe you don't think it's very much, or maybe you don't think it's significant. And if you're feeling that way this morning, then you would be right in the middle of this story, right in the place where she is, because her response to him is, your servant has nothing there at all. I have nothing. I don't have the gifts that I think I need. I don't have the talents that I think I need. I don't have the career that I think I need. I don't have the resources that I need. She said, except, say that word with me, except. I've got nothing except a small jar of olive oil. So what she does have, she considers insignificant. She considers that it's not enough. She considers, what difference does this little bit make? It's not going to do anything great. It's not going to do anything significant. So I'm coming to God, asking for him to provide for me. He says, no, what do you have? What do you have that God has given you? Because here's what we tend to do. We think about our gifts. We think about our talents. We think about the things that God has given us, the job that we have, the resources that we have. And we oftentimes feel like it's not enough, that we need more, that we weren't well equipped. And what we actually end up doing without realizing it is we're underselling who God made us to be. We're actually diminishing what he gave us. We're diminishing those gifts. We're diminishing those abilities. And we find ourselves in this place where we just feel like what we have is nothing, or that it's not enough. All right? And so what we've got to change our mindset. We've got to think about what we have in the way that God sees it. And this is my first statement for today, is that, hey, what you see as nothing and what you see as small, God sees as valuable and significant. Read that again. What you see as nothing and small, God sees as valuable and significant. That thing that you bring to the table, that thing that you are wired to do, like that thing that you're passionate about, or maybe the resources that you have, or maybe the career that you've walked into over a period of time, like what you think might be nothing and small, God sees as valuable and significant. And it's not because of you. It's not because of what you're capable of. It's not because of your plan to get to a certain level. It's the fact that God is in it, and he can use it, and he can take something small. He can take something that you see as nothing and multiply it and turn it into something significant. That's how he works. That's how he operates. So what you see as nothing, or what you see as small, or what you see as not enough, God says, no, there's value there. There's significance there because I can do all things. I can work in your situation. I can provide for you exactly what you need. And it's not about the amount, because we know in Matthew 25, there's the story that Jesus uses to be, quite frankly, an analogy of our life. And he says, hey, I'm going to tell you this story about these talents. You know, one person got 5 talents. One person got 3 talents. One person got 1 talent. And I charged them. I gave them the mandate of doing something with it. I gave them the mandate of taking the talents that you've been given, and I want you to produce a return. I want you to do something with it. I want you to make something significant out of what you've been given. It was never about the amount. It was about your faithfulness and your faith and trust in Jesus. So what you see is nothing. What you see is small, God sees as valuable and significant. That was lesson number 1 for her as she's having this conversation. Because he responds and he says, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Now I want you to think about that for a second. She has nothing. She has no olive oil. She's probably talked to her neighbor to her left and her neighbor to her right about her needs. She's probably been talking to people saying, my husband's died. I have nothing. I'm a single mom. I need help. And yet he says, hey, go ask for empty jars. Her first response to that was probably, are you kidding me? You want me to go to these people who know that I'm broke, they know I have nothing, and you want me to ask them for jars that I can't fill? So now she has to swallow her pride. She has to just do it anyway, because she's trying to be patient with this man of God. She's trying to be patient with this person who she knows can help her seek after what God can do for her. So she goes to these neighbors. She goes to these people. And thank you. And she asks for empty jars. Like, talk about swallowing your pride. Talk about being in a position where you don't think what you already are frustrated because you don't have what you need, and then you're being asked to go do something. And he says, by the way, don't ask for just a few. Don't go to the one neighbor and get a couple jars here and a couple jars there. Don't ask for just a few. I need you to go out and get as many empty jars as you can. So you can imagine her challenge to be obedient, her challenge to do what's being asked of her without understanding what's really going on. See, we know the end of the story, so for us, it's like, of course, you're going to go get your empty jars, and then they're all going to get filled up. She didn't know this, so she was simply trusting in what he was advising her to do. Go get some empty jars, and don't ask for just a few. So what I would say, the lesson in this is, hey, God's provision, what he's going to do for you, how he's going to use what you have, it's delivered through formation. Because we can go to him with a need and just say, Lord, I have a need. And the Lord says, okay, here it is. Instead, he says, no, let me teach you something in this. Let me form you into the person that I need you to be to handle what I know is ahead for you. So I'm going to meet your needs. I'm going to take the little thing that you have and make it significant. I'm going to provide for you where you think there is no way. But I want you to learn something along the way. I want you to be developed. I want you to learn that it doesn't matter how much you have or what you don't have. It matters what I can do through what I've given you. So there's a testing that needs to happen. There's a stretching that needs to happen. And she's being stretched. So she goes to these neighbors, she humbles herself and says, hey, like, can I have some empty jars? 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 Because the man of God said, don't ask for just a few. So she's getting all these jars, she's collecting everything, and the story goes on. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars as each is filled. Put it to one side. So here's what I would say to you this morning, because here's what happens. We think by the little bit that we have, we think that our default thinking is, if we want to hold on to what we have, or if we want to be good stewards, we got to hold on to it. Right? Because her default thinking was like, not only do I have enough, I definitely don't have enough to pour. I definitely don't have enough to let go of. And see, when we talk about our gifts and our talents and our abilities, we oftentimes think like, how can I invest in other people? How can I pour this out? How can I let go of my resources when what I have is so little? So we think by pouring that we're actually losing. But the kingdom, as oftentimes, shows us that it's the opposite. That when we pour, when we begin to become generous, when we begin to come working hard, when we come to a place where we say, this gifting isn't just for me. I'm going to use this gifting for other people. When we recognize that it's not about conserving what we have and holding on to it, it's actually about giving it away and being generous. So if we want more, if we want God to entrust us with more, if we want to see him do something powerful or amazing or to show up in our life, we have to pour. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you got to pour. You got to let go. You got to give it away. Because in her obedience to pouring what she didn't have into jars that were empty, like going against what her mind was telling her, she had to pour before God began to do the miracle. If you want more, if you want to grow, if you want to move further, if you want that opportunity, you've got to learn to start pouring out what you have. Let's not be people who sit on it and hold it and conserve it and not use it and not put it out there to benefit others. Like, let's be people who say, I'm going to give everything I've got. I'm going to give it 100%. I'm going to use my gifts for others. I'm going to use my talents for others. I'm going to use the influence that I've been given to benefit the kingdom of God. I'm going to love God and love people with what he's been given me. And I recognize that even if it is a little bit, I'm going to pour anyway because I know that God begins to move when I become willing to let go and to pour into other people. So she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. So you can imagine, like, she's got these two sons who are probably saying, Mom, this is crazy what we're doing. We have all these empty jars. We only have a little bit of oil. Like, what is going on? She begins to pour out, though. She begins to pour this out and pour this out. And then that one's getting full. And she's like, hey, this one's getting full. Bring me another one. Bring me another one. And then she goes to the next one and starts pouring out again. Bring me another one. Bring me another one. And she starts pouring and pouring. And God keeps providing and providing. God's way is a blast. When we begin to pour out, we begin to be obedient and use what God has given us, and he begins to show up and work in it, that's when we find the satisfaction that we're looking for. That's when we begin to become fulfilled because we know I'm pouring out what God has given me, and as I pour out, he's going to continue to pour into my life, and that's how this works. I pour out, he pours in. So when we get into this place and we find our lane and we begin to pursue Jesus by using what we've been given, we see God start to move in our life. So she fills and she fills and she fills and she fills and she fills that last jar up. And she says, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. So she figured, hey, God has provided for us. We got these jars. We filled them up. Praise God. He's providing for us. He did a miracle. So she went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. So we think, great, good story. Like, God did it. He came through for her. Like, this is awesome. Like, praise the Lord. Hoping he's going to do something similar in my life. But I think there's something to this phrase here where it says, there is not a jar left, then the oil stopped flowing. So I thought about this for a minute. I'm like, okay, like she had her needs met. She got everything that she needed because she went and sold what she needed to pay her debts, and then they had enough to live on at least for a while. So as I thought about it, I said, let me just pose a question here. Like, what if? What if she would have had 50 more jars? What if she would have asked for 50 more than maybe the 20, 25 that she had? What if it was only 10 jars more? What if it was only 5 jars more? What if it was 200 more jars? And as I begin to think about that, yes, the needs was met. Yes, God did what he promised to do, speaking through Elisha. But is there something to be said for our expectation of what God can do? Is there something to be said for how many jars we go grab? Is there something to be said for when we know that we need God to do something and he gives us those next few steps to take, or maybe it's just one step he gives us to take? I wonder if our expectation has anything to do with how he shows up and how he provides. Because it says, when there was not a jar left, then the oil stopped flowing. Well, what if the jars just kept coming? And as I read this and I consider this, I really think that your expectation is connected to the result. So what I just want to ask you today, like, what is your expectation? How many empty jars do you have? How far do you think God can go for you? How far do you think he can take these gifts and talents? How far do you think he can take the resources that he's entrusted you with? How far do you think he can take you in this career that he's set forth for you? And again, we find in our lives that we tend to say, well, I only have this. It's just a little bit. It's not very much. It's not significant. I'm nobody compared to somebody else. It's changing our mindset to say, you know what? It might be small. It may not be incredibly visible, but God gave it to me. And what I know about God is it doesn't matter how much I have because he can multiply it 100 times over if he wants to. And I believe the expectation that we project and what we actually expect God to do has everything to do with how he shows up. So we're not somebody because of us. We're not somebody because we've done anything at all. We're somebody when we recognize it doesn't matter what I have. God can take it. He can use it. He can multiply it. He can make it something incredible. So this young lady, her name's not even in the Bible. She's there in the Bible just for a second. She's a little part of God's story. But here we are today, looking back and studying this situation. It has nothing to do with olive oil. Her willingness to obey and to step out and to do something that she wasn't really comfortable with led to God pouring out more than she could handle. But I just wonder, like, what if her expectation would have been greater? What if she would have expected more? And I just want to encourage you this morning, like, we've all been given something. We all have something in our house. And I feel like God's saying, what do you have? I know you think you need more. I know you're asking for more. I know you're asking me to do this for you. And I know you want this. And I know you want that. But what do you have? And then what is your expectation for what I can do? How many jars you got? How much room are you making for what you know he can do in your life? So why don't we bow our heads for just a moment, and I just want to make room for just a moment to let God maybe speak to us and to challenge us. Some of us need to be challenged this morning in this area of our lives. Some of us, we're holding on to what we have. We're not pouring. And we wonder why we feel stagnant. We wonder why we feel stale. We wonder why nothing is happening. And I would ask you the question, are you pouring out? Are you giving of yourself? Are you using your gifts and talents to benefit other people? Are you being a good steward of your resources so that you can be generous, so that you can give to those in need? Because God begins to work when you begin to pour. Or maybe you're here this morning and you recognize through this conversation and as we talk about God and we talk about Jesus and we talk about what he wants to do for you. He wants to take a nobody and make them somebody. He wants to be there in a relationship with every single one of us. Maybe you realize that there is no relationship there, or you have no connection to God. He's just someone that you may know about, but you know there's not a real relationship there. And without a relationship with God, without forgiveness, without his redemption, we are nobodies. We become something. We move from nobody to somebody when we allow Jesus to take his rightful place in our life. So maybe for you this morning, the message is a stewardship message, or it's a, hey, you got to stop sitting on what you have and use it. Or maybe it's, hey, you need to say yes to Jesus. If you have a need, if you have a need in your life, it starts with Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you need to trust in Jesus, you know that you have a need for him, and you know that he's drawing you to himself this morning. He's calling you. He's knocking on your door. All you have to do is say yes. All you have to do is surrender your life to Jesus, and he will change your life. He will make you a somebody. He will forgive you. He came down and died on the cross for our sins so that we can have this life, so that we can fulfill our God-given purpose. So this morning, we're all at a place where we have to decide what we're going to do with this information. But for those of you that have yet to trust in Jesus, or maybe you need to rededicate your life to Jesus because you've walked away, you feel far from God, I want to lead you in a prayer if you're in that situation. If you need to trust in Jesus, if you need to begin a relationship with him today, if you need to come back home, I want you to be bold about it. I want you to do something about it this morning. I just want to lead you in a simple prayer. It's not the prayer specifically that saves you. It's the prayer along with the condition of your heart. I just simply want to help you make this decision, press into God, and have your life be changed forever. So if that's you and you want to make this decision, you want to trust in Jesus, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, would you simply just, you can keep your head bowed, just slip up your hand and let me know that you want to be included in this prayer, that you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to trust in him. So here's what we're going to do. We're all going to keep our heads bowed. And whether you raised your hand or not, it doesn't really matter. If you pray this prayer and you mean it with your heart, the Bible says you'll be saved. So we're all just going to pray this prayer out together. So just repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today, and I want to put my faith and trust in you. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe that you're alive today. I want to give you everything I have. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Have your way in me. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for those who are making decisions for you this morning, for those who are placing their faith and their trust and their hope in you. I pray for those this morning who are challenged by this word that brings them to a place where they say, I do have something to give. I do have something to offer. Whether it's big or small, whether people know about it or not, I've got something valuable that you've given me, and I'm choosing to use it. I'm choosing to pour out. I'm choosing to pour into other people. I'm choosing to take what I have and to make it something, and I know by doing that you'll show up. I know that by doing that, you'll continue to provide for every need that I have. You'll give me more than what I need so that I can pour out to other people. So we thank you for challenging us. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you, Lord, for changing our lives and for helping us to move forward. You don't want us to stay where we are. You want us to move forward. So we bless you. We worship you. We thank you. And we celebrate what you're doing this morning. So we love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands this morning.